Becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you to earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates.
Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Navy Federal also offers equity loan options to help you get the funds you need to consolidate high interest debt, work on home improvements, or cover any of life's big expenses.
To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, their members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender, membership required. Terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today, of course, we're going to be discussing the new student loan forgiveness reality. We're going to also talk about expensive offspring and DIY coffins. All right, man, we got a lot to cover today. Obviously, some important news that went out this week that affects probably a whole lot of How to Money listeners.
That's right.
We'll definitely spend a good bit of time on that, because there's a lot of nuance to what happened with student loan forgiveness. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention that your girls and my girls, they have to wear uniforms
That's
to school
right.
these days, right? Mm-hmm. All the kids at your school.
It's not just the girls. It's just that your girls are at a school where your girls are old enough. My girls are old enough.
Our
youngest
boys are not yet
yeah. in real school.
So they yeah. still look like scrubs.
The boys at the school.
when they go to school.
They totally do.
Well, yeah. Whereas our girls look nice and cute because they got this uniform on.
We see the pictures of them. They got like food all over their faces. Their shirts are like untucked, and girls look like they know what's going on.
Can I just say, as a parent, it's the greatest thing that ever happened, having school uniforms, because there's so much less fighting about what they wear before they go off to school.
All for the dang thing. I mean, a couple years ago, we started having the girls lay out their outfits the night before.
Uh-huh.
That was helpful. But even still, you would still kind of get into some of those arguments even then.
It didn't fix the problem.
The night before. So it made it slightly less stressful because at least we're taking care of this. At least not right before you're trying to rush out the door to school.
Yeah.
But it didn't completely solve the problem.
And school uniforms.
Totally for it.
They're typically not terribly expensive unless sometimes the school requires a particular name brand or a specific sort of uniform, right?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention that our PTA had like a used school uniform sale, and you could get, I think, tops for $2 and bottoms for $3, something
like
that.
Awesome.
I mean, insanely cheap. And so we stocked up, and the next time they have one of those sales, my girls will be bigger by then, and so we'll stock up again. But these are the kind of things, man, that frugal folks like us take advantage of, because they can represent a big savings. And you're also like reusing something, right? Instead
Absolutely.
Of letting that go in the trash. And sometimes,
well, how did the
there's some nice stuff, like nicer than what we would have bought new,
sure.
As well.
Yeah. Well, so how did the PTA get it? Is this from the lost and found from the previous year?
I think it's lost and found. Yeah. I think it's donations from other families who are like, hey, we've got a kid graduating or we're leaving the school, or it's different people who are donating old uniforms too.
Yeah, our school did something similar to that. I think what they did with the lost and found from the previous year is they basically kept some of those uniforms on hand for families who might be in a position where they're struggling a little bit, where they could potentially get those uniforms for absolutely free.
Nice.
But yeah, getting these things used, man, that's totally the way to go, because I mean, we've got three girls now, and
it's a lot of uniforms.
Yeah, I mean, 3 times 5, you know, like, are we actually going to have 15 different sets of uniforms? And ideally, yeah, we wouldn't have to do laundry except for once on the weekends. But we're kind of like, you know what? Let's maybe hold off until the next sale, the next time we come mm-hmm. across a bunch of uniforms that someone's trying to unload for cheap.
Because it's like it's something like 90% off or 80% off versus what you pay on the rack sometimes, getting those things used, which is a pretty sweet deal. And by the way, this is not a private school, in case people are wondering. These are both public schools.
Yep, public schools.
But yeah, sometimes the public schools require uniforms, and
I like it. Again,
I like it too.
From a hassle at home standpoint, but also just while the kids are in school, I am all for freedom of expression and for kids to be able to express themselves through what they wear and stuff like that. But within
two of Matt's kids have neck tattoos, so there's that.
Dodd is working on getting some teardrop tattoos down her face for every, you know. She's pretty hard.
True.
No, but I think it does help. I think it can help within that educational environment as well when it comes to learning.
Agreed. All right. Well, while we're talking about education, let's get on to the Friday flight. Let's get to the
on that note.
Most impactful story of this mm-hmm. week, for at least for folks in our audience. And that is about the student loan forgiveness that just took place. President Biden announced an executive action on Wednesday afternoon about student loans. And I don't know about you, I was like hitting refresh, Matt. I was like, what's going to happen? I'd kind of seen a couple of different outlets reporting what might happen.
Yep. But there are rumblings. Folks knew it was going to be going down.
Yep.
It has happened.
So a couple leaks here and there. But I wanted to know, like, right when it hit. And not because I have any skin in the game. I fortunately don't have any student loans anymore. But if you, dear listener, if you have student loans hanging around and you haven't heard about what happened this week at this point, I'd be shocked. But there's just a lot of information to cover, and you might not be familiar with all the details. So that's what we want to kind of get into today. The big news is that in a $300 billion push, that's how much it's in all likelihood going to cost taxpayers, all individual federal student loan borrowers with an AGI, an adjusted gross income, below $125,000 or $250,000 as a married couple, are going to receive $10,000 of forgiveness for their student loans. And interestingly enough, Parent Plus loans are included as well, Matt, but private student loans, no. If you refinanced into private student loans, there is no forgiveness for you if you have those private loans. And in addition to that, folks who had Pell Grants, which typically go to lower income borrowers, they're eligible for an extra $10,000 of forgiveness. So when you kind of step back out, take the big view, something like 15 million people just had their entire student loan amount wiped out. And even besides that, it's obviously a huge financial relief for tens of millions of other folks too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is great news for all of those folks. And I promise I'm not being a Debbie Downer here. I know there are a lot of folks who are like rejoicing, you know, who have had some of their student loans forgiven, potentially all of their student loans wiped out. But the reality is this announcement, it's sort of akin to treating symptoms, not the root of what we think is a much larger problem.
Yeah, it's like putting Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly. Yeah,
the bleeding will continue.
The cost of college, it's been rising far faster than the rate of inflation for decades. And just forgiving a boatload of the debt that individuals currently hold, it does nothing to address that. And case in point, friend of the show, Ron Lieber from The Times, he just wrote about colleges producing graduates that make far less money than their counterparts who only have a high school degree. And this is even after years of being in the workforce, where, you know, you've had time to get acclimated.
Yeah, sometimes
to
that
be
first
on
job,
the job,
those first couple of years after graduating college, you might still be on par with high school graduate counterparts, but
you should quickly see your
six, eight, ten years
increase.
Yeah, you should be making far
it's
more.
It's crazy. Yeah, so I mean, talk about being behind the eight ball. You know, taking on debt without superior job prospects because of an inferior higher education. This is a real problem. Going to college, it really is a great choice for some folks, but not for everyone. We all need to do a better job thinking through the value proposition of a degree before blindly encouraging folks to pursue getting one. We all need to ask the question, you know, will the time, will the money that we are willing to spend equal higher a higher salary down the road?
Yeah, and what's the trade-off? I feel like we asked
what's the trade-off?
Everything else.
And unfortunately, this forgiveness, I feel like, isn't going to encourage folks to do that, because there's always that sort of thought in the back of your mind of like, oh, well, there's a chance that something might happen with it.
And, well, and it also incentivizes colleges to do absolutely nothing when it comes to what they're charging.
Sure.
And
yeah, there's no institutional reform or kind of soul searching when it comes to what these colleges are providing.
And you mentioned that the inflation rate of a higher education has outpaced basically everything else in recent decades. And that is true. And that will continue to be the case if these are the kind of policy measures that we're taking. But let's actually talk a little bit more about what happens inside of this student loan forgiveness announcement, Matt, because one question some folks might have is, are there tax implications to this forgiveness? Because sometimes there are, right? If you have debt forgiven, oftentimes you owe tax on the amount that was forgiven, but that is not going to be the case with this. You will not incur any tax burden on this forgiveness amount. And actually there's even more in this announcement, because in addition to this headline forgiveness amount, the student loan payment pause has been extended through the end of the year. So payments will now maybe potentially begin in January. It's been
that's what Biden says.
Push
this
back
is the
and push
final
back.
Extension.
That's has been said multiple times.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. But in all likelihood, I do believe that January payments are going to restart. And so How to Money listeners should be prepared for to resume those payments come the new year. The White House also announced new repayment plans that are going to cap your monthly payment at 5% of your discretionary monthly income, down from 10% under the previous plans.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably my favorite thing, actually, in the program, because there was like an alphabet soup of income-based repayment plans before, and now this is going to be the slam dunk repayment plan that's best for almost everyone. It's just going to be easier for people to understand how it works. And instead of forgiveness after 20 years of on-time payments, folks are going to be able to have their loans eradicated after just 10 under this plan. And so, yeah, there's a lot of details in this forgiveness action. And we'll link to the page on studentaid.gov. And we'll actually cover more of this in our newsletter on Tuesday, because there was more than just meets the eye in a $10,000 blanket forgiveness. Like there was a lot of moving parts in this announcement. And so we'll do our best to kind of cover it all.
That's right. But overall, this is great news for all of the student loan borrowers out there who are paying down that debt. Joel, let's go ahead and shift gears. Let's talk about TV. We saw that there's new data from Nielsen that shows that streaming has finally overtaken cable in terms of hours spent watching TV for the first time. And what this tells me is that there are way more people who love cable than I realized, because like I would have said that this would have happened years ago. The fact that there are still that many, up until I guess last quarter or last month, there were still more people watching cable than there were watching streaming.
It's partly a demographics thing, right?
Mind-blowing.
There's still a lot of 50, 60, 70 something people.
Yeah, I guess
out there,
so.
And they have kind of stuck with, not all of them, right? But a much larger percentage of those folks have stuck with cable. They haven't really made the leap. Or maybe they've added Netflix into their life, but they didn't cut the cord.
Slowly, kind of making that transition, making that switch. Like, what I want to know is, like, what are they watching? What content is out there that you can't get it more affordably on one of the streaming services?
Well, hey,
you
know? CNN Plus is no longer around, my friend. So the only way to get your CNN fix is to have a cable subscription.
But they're canceling their shows anyway.
Yeah.
But one of the other things we saw as well was that a lot of streaming services are upping their monthly subscription prices. Disney, they announced a price increase of 38% just over a week ago now. And so unless, you know, you want to watch ads while streaming Bluey, you're going to have to pay that increased rate. That's going to be the only way to keep your current monthly price of $7.99.
By the way, Bluey season 3 is out and it is phenomenal.
So oh yeah, it's better than all the other ones.
If you have kids, and even if you don't have kids, it's like the best cartoon in the world, I think, right now.
It's pretty great. And Netflix, they're still likely to raise its subscription price as it introduces an ad-supported tier. Which makes sense. You know, like some of these streaming companies, they're spending huge amounts of money on new content that ends up living only behind their paywalls. We literally just covered this on the podcast recently, episode 542. We talked about streaming and we offered a lot of remedies to the problem of these increased streaming costs. But one of these considerations that needs to be on the table for money conscious folks out there is to consider eliminating at least one or two of these streaming services from your life if there are ways that you can be a little more choosy with the content that you are consuming. That is what we're going to recommend. and plus just watching less TV, generally speaking.
Yeah, when we did that episode, what was it? Something like close to 4 hours a day the average American watches of TV.
How it's a hobby, basically.
I mean, when you consider content. Sleeping hours and TV hours, that's half your life right there. It's insane that we spend that much time in front of the television. Some people more than that, because that's the average, right? Mm. So, yeah, watching less TV in general.
Sedentary, basically. Like, that's the other part, is that...
If you're on a treadmill watching TV, that's a different story.
But, like, what is it? I guarantee it's just a tiny, tiny sliver of those people who are actually walking on a treadmill while watching TV.
But I had a friend that did that.
Just sitting there.
I think that's a perfect way to reward yourself. If you are going to get on the treadmill or something and you are going to work out while watching TV, go for it. Like, I like to listen to podcasts or music when I'm working out, but I think that's a reasonable choice.
Totally.
But if you're...
Kate's dad does that.
Just on the couch.
He gets on the elliptical and he watches a movie while he just like plugs away for an hour and a half.
I like it. Nicely done, Greg. All right, well, one more thing, Matt, that we should mention specifically when it comes to watching content is if you prefer to watch movies, but then you prefer to watch them in the theater, there's actually a chance you're going to be able to spend less money doing that in the near future because MoviePass, I don't know, you remember that startup, MoviePass?
I do.
I never joined it because I never really go watch movies in the theater, but it's coming back from the dead. It's like a zombie company that's coming back to life, and it's set to relaunch in just over a week. And we have no idea how long MoviePass is going to last this time because their business model last time around was awesome for consumers, but not so great for MoviePass continuing to exist because they were offering one free movie every day for a monthly fee of $9.95, which I don't know where you go see movies, but that's less than the price of going to see one movie where we live.
Theater here?
Yeah that's like $13, $14,
$15. That is totally a steal.
For a movie ticket. So this was less than that, and you can go see a bunch of movies. It just wasn't sustainable. And since the MoviePass collapse, a lot of major movie chains have kind of launched their own flat fee, multiple movie initiatives. So maybe MoviePass isn't going to be as good of a deal, but they're apparently set to relaunch with different tiers of 10, 20, and 30 bucks. So I don't know if movies are your thing and you want to pay less money. We don't know the specifics yet, but MoviePass might be your jam.
That's right. Yeah, just do the math and it might make a lot of sense for you. It might make fiscal sense for you to do that. And this advice is coming right after we told you to consume less TV. Like going to the actual movie, in my mind, is more of an experience.
Yeah.
You definitely have to get off your butt. You got to get off the couch. Maybe you could ride your bike to the movie theater. that way you're not wasting any gas. You get a little bit of exercise. You meet up with some friends there. To me, that sounds like a lot of fun. Also, I think going to the movie theater every single day just because you have that movie pass, because you got that membership, sounds very time consuming, you know? Like this is a young person's game. Maybe the...
Wouldn't you get tired of movies after a while, too? Wouldn't you just be like, oh, I gotta go again, to get my money's worth? Just to make it worth 50 cents a movie.
If I did have MoviePass, I guarantee that I'm going to see every single movie that comes out.
You
just because
force yourself.
Yeah, in the same
even
way.
Even the crappy ones. It's a sunk cost fallacy.
It's sort of like leftovers. If there are leftovers in my fridge, even if it's not something I'm super excited about, you know what? We already paid for that thing. It still provides calories and nourishment and nutrition to my body. I'm going to eat it.
Yes.
but I've got kids now, and so going to the movie theater isn't something I've done in a long, long time. Kids take up a lot of time. They also cost a lot of money, and that is actually a story we're going to get to right after this break.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000 plus 5-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's Kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch. They make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
All right, Matt, it's time now to talk about expensive children. This is the ludicrous headline of the week. And apparently, it now costs $300,000 to raise a child. This headline was based on analysis from the Brookings Institution. And when I read it, I almost... pooped in my pants because I was like, I've got three children.
Don't soil yourself.
It's going to cost me $1 million, right? If when you add those numbers up.
1.2, baby.
Right. Well, yeah, for you, exactly. When the average middle-class couple is going to spend more than $310,000 on a child, just raising them up until the age of 17. So yes, this number
crazy.
Does not include the cost of college mm-hmm. in addition to the cost of raising them. That's an average annual cost of more than $18,000 per kiddo.
That's basically, it's a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Every single month.
And yeah, if you have a few, we were talking about a luxury penthouse or something like that, but you don't get the sweet pool to swim in. You just get the love and affection. But of course, inflation has adjusted this number upwards significantly over the past couple of years, raising the cost of everything from diapers to groceries. And Matt, I'm sure how much it costs to raise kids is largely dependent on where people live and just a slew of other factors that a lot of us are actually largely in control of. We see this headline number and maybe it feels disempowering, but I kind of thought about it differently. I think so many of the things, like whether it's just small ticket expenses, like buying name brand snacks, or if you're going to get those used school uniforms instead of the brand new ones,
yeah, boy,
you know, all the way up to bigger expenses, like the kind of camps that you're sending your kids to, or if you buy them a car, or if you're choosing to live in a smaller house and letting them sleep in the same room, like those are decisions you can make that will greatly lessen the amount of money that you're going to personally spend raising kids. You obviously, you got to feed them, but I think our suggestion would be to take that $300,000 number with a grain of salt. There are things that you can do to ensure that opting to have children isn't going to set you back to that extent. I think people might read that, especially if they're like, I'm on the fence about whether I want to have children. They'll read that and they'll be like, nope.
And that would discourage them, yeah, basically.
And I don't think that's good, because I think
It's not good for our society. It's not good for our country when it comes to maintaining that replacement rate.
And ultimately, we would say that kids are well worth every single dollar you spend.
Sure.
You don't have to spend as much as this Brookings Institute study says you're going to have to spend. There are a lot of ways for you to curb that cost. And either way, man, it's worth having kids, no matter what.
Well, and it's a personal decision that you need to make, right? I mean, like, yes, you need to be wise and prudent and look at the numbers and to do some forecasting and think about what your life is going to look like were you to have kids and if you can afford it. We are all about potential parents being responsible, right, when it comes to like crunching the numbers. But simultaneously, it's not just financial reasons that you do or don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of the different planners out there, and perhaps maybe folks who listen to How to Money, what I want you to hear is that you will not perfectly be able to plan out what it's going to look like to have kids. You might think, okay, well, maybe next year, or you know what, we need to have this figured out and this figured out. Whereas in reality, being a parent, man, like a lot of times you're just winging it. Not only from a, how do I teach my kids how to stop doing this or get them to stop doing this? How do I teach them to be a respectful kid? But also when it comes to the finances of what it costs to have a kid, you don't necessarily have to have everything planned out, but you will quickly find that you would do pretty much anything in order to provide for your kids, for your family. And so in that sense, a lot of times you're not just flying by the seat of your pants. You're literally putting the plane together as you're flying it because you know you have to. But like you said, Joel, like I don't want that to be discouraging for potential parents to hear and think, oh, this is way too much money. This is not a part of my financial plan. This is going to derail me from achieving FIRE in 5 years. Therefore, I'm not going to have kids. Hopefully, folks are out there and they're thinking about it from a much more holistic standpoint.
All right, Matt. So hopefully we've convinced everybody out there to have at least a kid, maybe a couple more if you're unsure. Because even though they cost a lot of money, they bring a lot of joy.
Yeah, if you're unsure, just have 3 or 4.
Yeah, give it a go. What's the worst that could happen? Let's talk about libraries for a second, Matt, because if you're not using your local library, then you should rethink whether you're actually a frugal person or not. Like, you might be screwing up on this one.
You're going to have your frugal license revoked.
Exactly.
If you're not taking
it. Get over here. We're going to take it away from you.
Going to the library, man. You got to do that.
We've actually had a few guests come on the show, Matt, and they've actually said that their splurge is books, right? We all always want to know, what's your craft beer equivalent? What is it that you're spending money on while you're saving and investing for the future? And a lot of them do say, well, I just buy whatever book I want because knowledge is important. And I'm like, good, I could totally get behind that. I know what you're saying, but I sure hope you're not doing that at the expense of not using what's available to you for free at the library.
Sure.
And sometimes I buy books, especially used on eBay, especially if it's one I want to keep or if it's one I want to read right away, where there's like a 6 month wait on the Libby app.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But the reality is that your local library system is an incredible resource. And the New York Post just ran an article about Overdrive, which is the company behind the Libby app, where you can go get free ebooks and audiobooks from your local library. And that app has been crushing it basically since the pandemic began, when more folks started getting their library content via one of those apps. They started getting the digital books instead of getting the physical ones.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly for libraries though, Matt, I didn't realize how bad this problem was. Digital copies are a lot more expensive than the physical ones, and the wait times can be weeks or months long to grab the digital copy of the book you want. Like, I've literally been waiting for some books for like 9 months. And so I guess I would just say this, plan accordingly when you're getting digital copies. I kind of like to line things up based on the wait time, so I'm like always getting fed a book within a reasonable amount of time, but you can't always plan it perfectly. And, you know, just I wanted to use this as an excuse to plan the free content that's at all of our fingertips. If you're looking to maybe stream less, like we were talking about earlier,
oh yeah,
reading more is a great way to accomplish that. And there's a way to do it for free or for super cheap.
Sure. Well, I'll push back a little bit because you said that this is a free resource, but I'll point out that it's not, it feels like it's free, but this is a resource that we have already paid for through our property taxes, through our local and state taxes. That is what funds libraries. And so again, I don't want to be like the super tax heavy Debbie Downer realist guy during this episode, but I think like it could even potentially be more helpful to think about the library that way. It's not just this free resource that's available. This is something that you have paid for, and if you don't go there and take advantage of it, in that case, you're just flushing money down the toilet.
It's kind of like signing up for MoviePass and not going to see single movie.
Exactly.
It's like,
why would you do that? You would not do that.
And you're already paying for the library, so go take advantage.
So maybe this is the mindset shift that might help you to visit your local library, at least even through the Libby app. Joel, let's talk about Social Security. That is a topic we talked about last week, along with Parent Plus loans, how it's affecting the older generations. So let's dig into another topic affecting some of our older listeners, hearing aids. The FDA.
What's that you say, Matt?
Somehow, deep down, I knew you were going to do that. But the FDA.
Dad jokes are strong with
they,
me.
They regulated the sale of hearing aids for decades, and they have not allowed for them to be sold over the counter. And so that means that hearing aids, they have been needlessly antiquated and expensive for millions of older adults. And so the good news, though, is that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, they just gave the green light for lots of hearing aids to be sold over the counter. And that means that prices, that they're bound to come down, and it's likely to happen pretty quickly. Hopefully, maybe we'll even see some innovation, and maybe we'll even see some superior products come on the market. And so instead of thousands of dollars for your average pair of hearing aids in the coming years, you know, we could see folks being able to get comparable quality hearing aids for just, you know, hundreds of dollars rather than thousands. But that being said, even now you can, I mean, you can get hearing aids for like $100. Maybe the quality isn't that good, but
no,
this is one of those.
There's a huge disciprency between hearing aids that cost $100.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, if you want the good hearing
never
aids,
tried them out, so
they're thousands of bucks. And yeah, well, we're not even anywhere close to needing them, Matt, fortunately, but at least that we know of. But this is one of those things where if you cheap out, it's going to be an inferior product. And when it's one of those things where it's pretty necessary.
If we're still doing the show in, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years,
yeah.
Well, that'll be a frugal or cheap that we get to. Like, all right, Joel, I'm trying out the $100 hearing aids. Yeah.
Well, this is good news because it's an industry that's kind of been behind lock and key. And if you're going to be able to kind of shop around and just like you would for a whole lot of other electronic items, now that you're going to be able to do that with hearing aids, it's going to bring the cost down and allow more people to get a product that's necessary for them to be able to like live a meaningful life, like to be able to hear their loved ones.
Oh, yeah.
And not pay just a ridiculous amount of money to do so.
Sense. Like, it probably would be a cheap move to, like you said, not be able to hear your loved ones, because I know I've read stories where with the onset of hearing loss, the likelihood of dementia increases significantly in older generations. So it's not something you want to mess around with. And another story that affects the oldest among us, as well as the younger unlucky ones, people are opting to make their own coffins, like we teased to at the beginning of this episode. And we're not talking about starting from scratch. There are DIY coffin kits that you can now buy in order to save a chunk of money, because coffins are, they're not all that cheap. Costco, I feel like they've probably got some of the more affordable coffins out there. But even still, they're pretty expensive. They're like at least $1,500. They don't sell the base model. They don't sell like
a straight pine one.
Once Aldi starts selling coffins, then we might be able to get that sub-$1,000 range. But the DIY kits, they can cost half as much, around $800. But even still, man, I feel like that is a lot of money for something that, in my opinion, I'm like, you know what? I'm still thinking about going the cremation route.
Still cheaper.
It's still going to be much more affordable because, yeah, even still, you're looking at hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a coffin.
And especially,
which, in my opinion, it doesn't make any difference.
Especially when you shop around for that cremation, right? And we've talked about that before on the show, that sites like Funeralocity allows you to kind of shop around for your burial or cremation services.
That's right.
And a lot of people pay way too much for that. And Funeralocity is doing a great service in helping people be able to save money on something that you often don't have a lot of time to plan for the cost of that. And so it's a great site to kind of look at to see in your area where you can go, what funeral homes charge. Like, you're going to be able to see the price front and center before you make a decision in the heat of the moment.
Totally.
But yeah, Matt, enough about death. Let's talk about disc golf for a second. Let's make a nice little pivot here. You got an endorsement, one of my favorite sports.
You would like your ashes scattered on a disc golf course.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yes. Honestly, I'd be cool with that. there was a ringing endorsement of disc golf from the New York Times this week. And it's not that we need the gray lady's opinion on disc golf. I don't need to hear their stamp of approval to know that it's awesome. The gray lady, by the way, that's the nickname for the New York Times. But it's fun to see one of the best sports in existence get some love out there, get some major publication love. It's not as hot as pickleball. I've seen a lot more headlines about that recently. But if you don't do anything else this weekend, we would say buy a disc or two. You can get them used at Play It Again Sports if you've got one in your area, or maybe on Facebook Marketplace. But yeah, find a course near you and go throw some discs. We'll actually link to the PDGA, Professional Disc Golf Association, course directory on our website so you can find a course near you. It's free. It's fun. It gets you out in nature. Like, there's just not many better weekend activities than going to play around a disc golf, I don't think.
Yeah, especially as the temperatures are starting to cool.
Mm-hmm.
We should go sometime.
Let's go.
Sometime soon.
I miss it.
You want to go today?
Out there. Okay. I'm in.
I may not be able to today.
Okay.
If not today, maybe next weekend.
Okay, next weekend.
All right.
Sometimes you got to plan ahead.
Yeah, exactly. But that is going to be it for today's Friday Flight. We hope that you have a fantastic weekend. We've got a great episode lined up for you here on Monday. We're actually going to be speaking with a professional athlete, not a professional disc golf player, professional football player. And so we are looking forward to sharing that one with you here on Monday.
And no, this is not the Tom Brady crypto episode, okay? Somebody else with much more balanced personal finance views.
That's right, man. Yep. So until next time, Joel.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.